Kevin, you're welcome to the studio. How's life?
All good.
Thanks for coming
in. No problem. Thanks for having me.
Listen, Kevin, first of all, tell us about your life in the world of Gaelic games.
So I'm from Tyrone, across the border there, Ahí Aran Castlederg area. Mistaken for a Donegal man every now and then from the accents. I am openly gay Gaelic footballer. Came out coming up 5 years ago now, and spent a lot of my life running away, I guess, from who I actually was, you know, in sexuality, and didn't really want to accept it. And then took a lot of time out of football because it just affected my career. I just thought I wasn't a good footballer, you know, like, as of my family, growing up all the way up to minors, under-21s, everything, like, it had the talent, but it just got to a point then where every time I was going to football, it was in the back of my head where, okay, something's not clicking here. But I just blamed, okay, I've just lost the talent, you know, and then not knowing then that it was actually more my mental health and my sexuality was really taking its toll. And so decided that me taking a step out of that Gaelic world, because that's how I felt. I associated the sport with how I was feeling, not necessarily my sexuality, and just started not running away, but just started not facing it. And then done a bit of traveling, getting out of Ireland, I guess, you know, and found out very quickly that it follows you, your baggage, you know. And then eventually then decided to face it 4 years ago, 28. Yeah, just turned 28, so it was. And yeah, decided to come out then. And yeah, the whole thing just flipping itself then, you know, like the weight had just lifted. Yeah. And then coming back into the sport then, it wasn't something I originally planned to do. I was coming back to Ireland because I just thought, right, something's calling me back now, I guess, you know. And then eventually got back into the sport and yeah, haven't looked back since, you know.
At that time, when you pulled away from the Gaelic games world, what was your take on the stigma around being a gay man trying to play Gaelic football?
Well, just a different time compared to like today, you know, like growing up, you do hear in the change rooms, especially, you hear just the, you have to have this persona of masculinity. You have to be strong. You can't show any weakness. You can't share about anything with your feelings, you know? And unfortunately, a lot of the stigma around it was gay slurs would be thrown around the change rooms as banter per se. But for me, as time went on, once these things were said to someone else, not even towards me, once I sort of feel, oh, I actually got a little bit offended by that, I guess, you know, but I can't say nothing to draw attention to me. And then it was just sort of that there shift, I guess, you know, where I was like, okay, this environment now is not what it used to be. And I guess a lot of lads, like, growing up with the GA, like, that's our identity. That's all we know, you know, and to sort of lose that as a player, I just didn't really know where I fitted in. And that's why I just decided to take a step back and think in that woods.
How difficult was that at the time for you?
I think at the time it wasn't too bad initially, just because I thought the enjoyment for me wasn't in it anymore within the sport. And again, I just thought, okay, it's a lot harder to break into senior football, reserve football. You just, like any other lad, you have to move up in the ranks, you know. And you do see a lot of people drop off at that stage, you know, within the sport. I just thought, okay, is this my sign to drop off? And I did go away to university in Liverpool as well. Not intentionally going to play football over there, but just drop into the football team as well. But it's sort of, okay, here's my opportunity to get away here now and sort of live a little. And then once I joined the Gaelic team over there, it's fallen back into that mood and routine again. And again, it was sort of one of those things, you're one foot in, one foot out, and you don't really know where you stand. And the same thing over there as well, wasn't getting game time with the university team either. So I was like, okay, maybe I am just an awful footballer now. Like, the talents has sort of left me. And it's just one of them things, okay, association with the sport is how I felt at that time. And I was miserable without showing it, I guess, you know. Mm-hmm. And once I did take a step away from the sport then, it was sort of my expectations, okay, everything's going to be happy and good again, you know, but turned out that it wasn't the sport after all.
And you had your struggles to find yourself, and you did. And
yeah,
you accepted that you were a gay man, and you told your family, and they were very much warm into it. Mm-hmm. and accepting it as well. But then you had to go tell your teammates. I heard the word fear used mm-hmm. previously.
Yeah.
What was there a fear there for you? Because if you go into the changing room, tell your teammates, there's matches, there's abuse from crowds, you're a content creator, mm-hmm. you all know all about how social media works, how it affects your family. How is it going to affect the other players? So there's all these scenarios that become part of this fear. What was that fear like for you?
100%. Like, I think for me at the time, it was just, okay, if I get my family told, that's the main thing. At this stage, I wasn't really talking to the football lads as much, I guess, you know, so I didn't see them as much. And I'd been out of the sport maybe a couple of years at this point. And once I told my family, I was like, okay, you can tell whoever you want now. It's as long as you know that's the main thing. And I thought, no, actually, I'll start telling, extend the family, like the cousins and all that, their crack. And then eventually, and as being a content creator, I was like, right, I might as well just address this online and just get it out of the way one big go. Otherwise, I'll be coming out every other day sort of thing. You know, it's everyone, every conversation. And then once I get back to Ireland, obviously the football lads had seen the post and everything in the way, you know, so you do get the messages and what from them of support, and then you meet up for them with coffee and it's normal, you know? And the conversation very quickly turned to, right, Kevin, when you're coming back to football now, sort of thing, you know? So those were the first sort of signs that I saw, okay, these lads were actually grand and supportive of this. But it was always, like he says, you have the first training session going back in, the first time stepping into the changing rooms, first match back against other teams. How is everyone else going to react to this, you know? But again, it's all in your heads. You're just sort of thinking, you're just paranoid, yeah. Even though it's grand, you know? And thankfully, like, nothing has been an issue on or off the pitch.
What about the slurs that you talked about and the way it's thrown around the change room?
Haven't heard them.
Did that all change as well once everybody knew?
Yeah, 100%. But I don't think that's because of me, I guess, you know? I think that's just over time how society is in general across the board and all sports, I guess, you know? And I guess growing up, people just weren't educated. We just didn't know any different, I guess, you know? And again, once you're a teenager in the change rooms and everything, you're thinking, okay, I need to stand out here. I need to be seen as the big lad or the best in the room sort of thing, you know? And again, it was just a bit of ignorance growing up. And I guess as society changes and the years went on, there was a shift in it. Yeah. I'm not saying it's perfect now today, but
the misconceptions aren't as great as what it used to be before. And listen, if there's young men listening to this, so there is, and they're at a stage where, again, the fear is actually worse of the scenario and the situation is when you actually do tell your teammates. But it's still a major, major hurdle to get over, Kevin.
That's it. You know, like for me, I was thinking, okay, again, the JA was everything I knew, grew up with. It was my identity. And without it, who is Kevin sort of thing, you know? Like I thought my friends are going to lose them, going to lose the sport itself, going to lose my family, you know, my closest friends. And you just think of every negative that's going to happen, but you don't really think of the positive that's going to come from it. And thinking back to younger Kevin now, and that changed from hearing those sort of slurs or scenarios, like compared to today, like I do have the confidence now to call it out in a sense, you know? And again, people just didn't know, they don't know that they're doing any wrong. And until they're told, like, oh, actually, I didn't mean that in that way. Sorry, I apologize. And they accept it, you know? So yeah, I think just being more aware of it now and calling it out and just make them more comfortable for anyone in the scenario, if you're out or not out of the closet, I guess, you know, in that situation, it just shows that words have meanings and you don't know who's being affected by them.
We're looking at statistics here. Now, they're not actual figures, but you could have about 250,000 people, men, involved with the Gaelic Football Association. And if you were to go by what society suggests with research, 3-7% of men identify as gay or bisexual, which would have a figure of between 8,000 and 20,000 gay men possibly involved in Gaelic football. That's a huge...
Massive.
It's a huge number.
Yeah.
But when you hear the stories about players that have come out, there hasn't been too much of it, Kevin.
No.
Let's be honest about it. Donal Cusack with the referee, David Goff.
Yeah.
The likes of yourself, like Mark Shields and Armagh.
Yeah.
And these are the standout people. But other than that, it's really unheard of.
Yeah.
So how do you go about, or how does society, how does the GAA now go about to encourage a gay man to come out and be part of the association as who he is?
Well, I guess just sharing our stories, you know, like I'm happy to talk about my own experience over and over, you know, and I've done panel talks in the past couple of years since coming out, and I guess there has been a lot of opportunities down that road to talk about it a lot more. But I guess it's more getting your story out and showing that people it is okay. Like, you know, from my own experience, that's once I did come out, the amount of messages I would have gotten from lads in similar positions who have either moved away from Ireland, quit the sport altogether, and have come out abroad, I guess, you know, or someone who's in rural Ireland and are in the same position as me but are too afraid to come out, you know. It's just hearing their stories, you're thinking, oh, this actually is more common than people think. And I guess just sharing the stories and getting the word out there a lot more is the only way to do it, you know. And you can't force anyone to come out of the closet. I can only speak from my own experience, I guess, you know. But to show from my own experience, my own club, and how they've accepted me and made my environment so much easier to walk into. If one club can do it, why can't every other club do it, you know? And it's not necessarily rolling out the red flag or pride flags on the gat there. It's just being open and honest and, I guess, open for conversation. And even if it's someone who's mental health problems, for example, or struggling with anything else in their life, open in the conversations for anything, I guess, you know? And just keeping those areas open for them to share and just feel like, okay, I'm not in this alone and someone actually cares about me to actually offload this. And it does make a difference, though, talking about it.
And get to a stage and get to a point where you want to get back to playing and loving a sport that you grew up with.
This is it. You know, like a lot of people, like growing up, you're like, okay, go to training, go to the matches. This is your escape from reality, I guess, you know, and that's where it should be, having the crack and letting loose a bit, you know. And for me, it wasn't that. It sort of flipped, you know. But yeah, getting back to that stage where it's like, okay, I'm here to play football and that's the main reason why I'm here. You know, I'm not looking over my shoulder thinking, okay, this lad knows something about me. I don't even understand myself, you know.
To keep it on the trajectory of acceptance, is there maybe more prominent inter-county footballers needed to the fore in this to back what's going on for a gay man? Now, these are straight men, so they are. But for them to voice the support for a gay man in the GAA, is that the next stage, is it, do you think?
I think it's part of it, having your allies on your side and support and showing up for you whenever the times are hard, for example. Like, there's been many pride talks over the past couple of years I've done where anyone's welcome to them and people want to show up and come to it. But I remember one last year, it was in Dublin for just a pride brunch, and it was actually Conor Myler who was hosting us, and he's a great ally, great man to have on side, you know. It was me, him, and Mark Shields who were on the panel, and everyone else in the room was all women, you know. Like, there's no, I think there's maybe one or two straight men in that room, you know, and those are the rooms that you need the men in there as well to show their support, so even just to hear the stories and whatnot. But I think a lot of it comes down to fear again, whereas that perception of, okay, I'm a straight man now. Is my sexuality going to be assumed by association? Am I going to be seen as gay if I show up to these events, you know? Yeah. And that's just one thing that stood out. And I think it's really important to let people know it's okay to come to these events. And that's how you show your support and get the word out there.
As seen from a senior inter-county perspective, okay, we're talking about a very, very prominent player and he comes out. In society today, for a person like that to do that, is it worth it?
It's difficult, you know, because they're already up there to the masses of people. Like, they're already scrutinized probably on their career and then anything else that you outside of that, you know, to have that other element of sexuality on top less. Like, it's hard for anyone to get their head around that, I guess. You know, I know for myself how hard it was for me. I can only imagine how hard it would be for an inter-county player to face that as well. But I can see the flip side of it and the good that can come from it. And I would like to think that the GAA is a community that is so welcoming and it's a place for everyone where they wouldn't be scrutinized on their sexuality. But yeah, I can see both sides of it, you know. Like, it would be amazing. And just to show the masses that it's okay and you can be a top player in your sport. Doesn't matter what your sexuality is, you know. But I can see the weights and the pressure that comes along with that as well.
How's the football going at the minute for you?
It's not too bad at the minute. We're waiting for the league to start now at the minute, so we're still training a few friendlies, you know. So that's my fourth year back now, so still ticking over, yes.
Are you enjoying your football now?
Oh, yeah.
Better than you've ever done before?
100%. You know, like, previously before, like, I wasn't even making the senior team, like, maybe 5 minutes here or there, compared to, like, once I came back this year, I was like, right, I'm actually really focused now, put in the hard work. I got my starting position, still have my starting position, and that sort of, I owe it to my younger self to give my time now to the sport and really enjoy it and really get the most out of it, compared to years ago where I was like, okay, this isn't for me anymore. But yeah, enjoying it. Just waiting now for the league to start and get back into it for another year.
Just finally then, Kevin, what's the best bit of advice you can give to someone who's maybe listening to this piece today that is a gay man in the Northwest and is struggling, loves playing Gaelic football, but obviously has this massive hurdle to overcome and how it's going to be accepted? First of all, how it's perceived, and then how is it going to be accepted mm-hmm. within the group that he is in? So if they were to come to you, what's the best bit of advice you can give somebody now?
I guess just maybe two pieces of advice. The first one being, don't look at it as a negative thing. Think of the positives that could come from it. I guess, yes, it will be hard, but think of all the goodness that can come from it as well. And I guess having someone to talk to, in a sense, because I thought I was the only gay person in the world, never mind in Ahear and in Tyrone, you know. So yeah, even just having someone to offload, not even necessarily say that you're struggling with your sexuality, but just how you're feeling and how the sport's making you feel, and then open up different avenues and how we can sort of combat this and help you get even further help or someone else to talk to, or get the right person to talk to, you know. And I guess now, even just having social media, for example, compared to 10, 12 years ago, there it was just newspapers and everything, like you didn't have the access to information that we do have today, and just showing that there are other people out there and that you're not alone, even just reaching out that their way as well, you know, it does make a big difference compared to going through it by yourself.
Kevin, we appreciate you coming on today.
No problem.
And the very best luck with the season ahead.
Thank you.
Ahi Aaron's on the up. Is there a championship looming, is there?
Oh, hope so, you know.
Good man. Listen, Kevin, we really do appreciate you coming on. Best luck with the football and the best of luck with your continued journey.
Cheers.
As well, because I know you're very, very supportive to others who you are. So
thank you.